My heart is in Dallas with Haley Thompson. Brad mentioned it, but if you don't know her, she is a 36-year-old special needs adult. Did I say Brad? Well, you said, but it's a rough morning. I'm sorry. She is such an amazing young lady who is probably more like Jesus than any of us will ever dream of being, and she is hurting now, and her mom and dad are hurting. Her birthday, by the way, she turns 37 next Sunday, so I don't know what that means or how we can love her, but the thing we're praying for desperately is for this patch that they've sewn onto the back of her spinal, right below her brain, to hold the spinal fluid, because it's just not right now, and it's a big deal. So I want to pray for her. It's just all I can think about. Let's pray. God, thank you for H Baby. Thank you for her love. Thank you for her grace. Thank you for her smile. Thank you for how she puts up with me. Thank you for teaching me about you through Haley Thompson. In the name of Jesus Christ, would you help and force that patch to heal and to hold? Bring her back to us, please. We love you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Many, many years ago, I took a group of students to inner city Nashville. This was, maybe 30 years ago-ish. And I think the only person that is in this room, I think Heather, is that Heather up there? Heather Koba, or Go Lightly, was on this trip, but we thought it would be a great idea to take inner city kids from Nashville into the woods for a week. And let's just say it wasn't overly enjoyable. Let's say the only thing that seemed to work, these kids were absolutely scared to death. I think the most embarrassing, well, there are multiple embarrassing parts, but one of the most embarrassing parts was we couldn't get the kids to go to sleep except when we went to Heather and Candy's room. And when we went in there, they were all asleep. And I said, "How did you do this?" And they said, "We read Leviticus to them." Well, things were pretty rough throughout the week. And finally, we got to the last day. We had made it work. And the guy that's in charge says, "We're going to have a campfire." Well, I'm thinking, we're going to have s'mores. These kids are going to, we're going to give them sugar. Man, this is going to be another great final night. But sadly, that's not what happened. And Heather, I don't know if you remember this. I remember it, unfortunately, like it was yesterday. Because when we got to the campfire, the fire was huge and the topic was hell. And this particular preacher, every time he spoke and used the word hell, he would have this guttural, "Hell." And I'm sitting there watching our students go, and I'm watching the kids go, and what it made it worse was he had a teenage boy throwing lighter fluid on the fire. I'm like, please let this be over. Can we get in the vans and drive our 1,000 miles as fast as we can? Throughout this whole talk, there was a little boy beside me named Marcus. And every time the word hell and the fire would go, he would lean into me. And sure enough, I knew it was coming. And I knew I was going to have to talk to our students and go, I want to teach you that but we need a different theology. And this is not... As soon as it happened, it's time for the altar call. And who wants to be baptized? Marcus jumped and literally ran over the fire to get to this guy. And all I remember is his sister, who was sitting right beside him, who screamed, "Marcus, get back here. You've been baptized 3 times. And as funny as all of the stories are, it's the stories like that that make me incredibly sad. Because have you ever thought about what that little boy who's now a grown man thinks about Jesus? what he thinks about the body of Christ. It reminds me whenever former students come up, they'll say something like, "Hey, Kyle, do you remember when you said," and I don't let them finish. I go, "I'm sorry, whatever it is, it's my fault." I'm embarrassed. The 30 years of mistakes, and you're just like, ugh. I'm a glass half empty person. I know that's a shock to all of you. If you know me, my personality unfortunately sees everything that's wrong. It sees what's not working. It sees all of my mistakes. And when you come, "Hey, we should do this," I'm like, "That's great. And here are the three things that won't work." It's very helpful to you. I'm sorry. And it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to see all that's not working in the body of Christ. It's easy to see what we wish were true at Southwest. It's easy to see, man, if we would just. But this morning, I want to remind us, and I want some of my friends to remind you, that that is not the whole story. I want to acknowledge all the struggle. I want to acknowledge the pain. I want to acknowledge, man, I wish these things were different in your life and in my life and in this church body and in how we infect the world with God's kingdom. I wish it were different. I want to acknowledge that, but I want to say God is working. And I want to say, I'm so sorry for my constant pushing. And today, I want to acknowledge that no matter where you sit this morning, no matter if you've walked in here for the first time and you're like, I don't know what this whole church thing is about, whether you're hurting physically or financially, whether you cannot wait to see what God's doing, I want to say it. You are known. You are completely known. All of those secrets, all of that fear, all of that what if this happens, you are completely loved and known and accepted and called. Not to sit on a pew, you are called and you are invited to put on the full armor of God and take your stand. You're invited to play a part in the story of God, not just sit here and wonder. So if you're visiting with us, you're like, "Boy, this is weird." Okay. But I want you to know we want and long to be a church that brings the kingdom, a church that loves first and wants to become, not just talk about Jesus, but become like him and to advance what he's trying to do rather than just intellectually agree with it. And so instead of talking and listening to me, I want you to hear that just from a few. I want to invite my friends up here today to let you hear from them. I've asked them, basically because these are people, just a few. Let's see, there you go, there's yours. You can take that one. Who I have had the opportunity this summer to see Christ in. It's easy to lose our calling, and it's easy to just come here and sit and get, and it's a holiday weekend, and we'll do this. But today, I want you to remember that God is not done, and he is still working, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves here in just a second as they tell stories. Oh, hey, thanks. But I wanted you to see, these are four questions that I sent them. And honestly, they're the four questions that your life group leader would have gotten if you're meeting tonight. But I don't really care about the questions. Really, all I was trying to get was for them to tell stories that I have watched and seen and been witness to. And I think many of us have. So, this morning, I'm going to start with you, Reese. You ready? Why don't you just introduce yourself? And let's just, those are great, but I'm going to say it this way. What's God been up to in your life?
My name's Reese. I'm a sophomore in high school, and ever since I've joined the youth group, I've just always looked forward to the summer. Obviously the whole school year, but I've just loved the summer and all the things that we get to do and how we get to engage with our community and each other. One thing that really moved me this summer was Freshman Summit. I'm not sure if y'all know what that is, but this year was a little different. It was incoming and outgoing freshmen in high school, and we got to go to Colorado and climb a mountain, and it was not a small mountain, I will say that. When we got down, I was crazed that I did that. I thought it was crazy, but it was very fun. But some things that really stuck out to me is just how encouraging the youth group was to each other during that time. We definitely went through some struggles with each other, and I think that that was really important because it showed each other how we were there for each other and just really how we could lean on each other when we were in our toughest times, especially going up that mountain. But when we got back down and we got back in our cabin, it was just really cool to hear everyone talking and just saying, like, even the people that were the most encouraging were saying how much they hated it and struggling the whole time. And I thought that was so funny because they were just talking about how they hate it and they wanted to be done and they wanted to just climb down that mountain and get back in the vans, but they were so encouraging the whole time. And I think that that just moved me in a different way. And it was amazing having, I think, ingoing and outgoing freshmen because it was great to have different perspectives. And it was just really nice to get to talk to each other that whole time. And it was really moving.
Love it. What's God doing? Introduce yourself. Tell us a story. Okay. Kylene's looking at you, Bo. You're next, evidently. She's like, I don't. She's regretting saying yes right now, I think.
Hello, my name is Bo, and I'm a...
Wait a minute, your name is Bo?
No, it's Bo.
Oh, okay, all right, just checking.
No, it's just Bo. And I'm a junior at Emerald High School, and I'm going to use one of the questions, and one of the questions for me was, what old way of thinking is God asking me to let go of? And for me, that is judgment. And it's not in the way of me judging others, but it was in a way of me being feared of being judged by others. And one of the ways I feel like I was scared of being judged of was for showing my faith. And one of my feelings that I feel like God has nudged me to be more active in the youth group, and especially over this summer. Because this summer I've been able to go to base camp and be a counselor at base camp, which is awesome. And I got to be a part of Duct Tape and do community service for plenty of people that really, really needed it and really loved us being there. And the third activity that I loved the most was we got to go to Toronto, Canada. And when we were in Toronto, we were part of this group called Young Life, or not Young Life, it was something like that.
Sun Life.
Sun Life? Oh, Sun Life.
And we were a part of a group that I can't remember the name. We'll go with that.
We'll
it's good.
It.
It's good.
And we went out to the streets of Toronto, and we were able to talk to strangers about Christ.
You mean you just walked up to people on the streets?
On the streets of Toronto.
And we struggled to talk to our neighbors, but that's a different story. Okay.
Yes, we got to talk to strangers on the streets of Toronto, and one duo of people that really stood out to me, their names were Joy and Honesty. And me and Hannah and a few others offered to pray for them. And it was really moving to be able to pray for them and for them to accept us and show no judgment and allow us to pray for them and allow me and Hannah in the group to not hold judgment towards them and be able to accept them into the family of Christ.
What was it like to talk to somebody? Just you, I mean, you're walking up to somebody trying to start a spiritual conversation. What was that like?
You're terrified walking up. You're just like, your heart's beating out of your chest, and you're just like, oh, am I going to say the right thing? But once you kickstart the conversation, it just flows very naturally.
So once you started...
Once you start it, God takes the wheel and takes it where he wants it to go.
Yeah, yeah. Kylene, it's your turn. I'm sorry. Introduce yourself.
I'm Kylene Hilton. God's been working in my life. It's been me getting out of my comfort zone.
Like right now.
Yes.
I'm trying to make her laugh because she's shaking.
Sorry. We've been doing apprenticeship groups, and I've been in the launch, and we've been talking about, you know, our identity. We've been talking about our community, our identity in our community, and our mission. And then, you know, not being sit and get, that I could be very comfortable and being sit and get and staying in the backgrounds, and but I'm not. That's not where I want to be.
Right.
God's been working on me to be in saying yes more and to getting out of my comfort zone and to getting out there and doing things that are uncomfortable. And one of the things was I've gotten up here to pray a couple times.
A Sunday morning?
Yes.
Okay.
And back, which was something I never thought I would do, and back, after we did the ladies' study and
The women's role.
Yes. Mm-hmm, Greg Ogburn had asked me, you know, am I going to get up here and am I going to lead? And I was like, no, absolutely not. That's not where I'm going to be. But then through these studies and launch and our apprenticeship group, it made me think more. And then I got the email from Doyle on leading prayer.
Did you think ugly words about him when he emailed you?
Yes. Well, my first thought was, no, I'm not doing that.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing that. But then I prayed over it, and I thought about it, and I was like, no. I want to be available to God and let him use me. So I did it. I got up here, and I prayed, and it was uncomfortable, and it was scary, and my voice went up a few octaves, and, you know, I was shaking like I am now. But
what did it do for you? What did God do in you?
It made me realize I can do hard things, and that he's with me. And even though I am nervous, he's got me. And then I'm in here with my family. So if I do fail or it's not so good, I mean, perfect people right here to judge me. You know, they're going to encourage me. They're going to, you know.
Fought through struggle, fought through heart pounding out, walked up the mountain, struggled. What else is God doing? Tell me a story. Anybody.
This is a different, but I also got to be a counselor at base camp. But I was with the seventh graders, and they were called CITs, so counselors in training. And we got to serve the people at the camp. And I think it was really cool to kind of step back, because I wasn't the one serving, but I got to shadow them serving. And I think that it really moved me, because they were never, like, they were never complaining about it. They always just kind of did it, and with a big smile on their face, and they were laughing and having a great time. And it was just amazing to see, because I feel like some people see young Christians as just following rules, going to church, following their parents. And I think that they didn't see it like that. They didn't see it as a chore or something that they had to do. They saw it as they wanted to, and they were doing it like out of their love in their hearts. And I thought it was so neat to see that, especially because I think I struggle personally with getting up and the discipline of being a young Christian. But I think it was really cool just to see how willing they were, and just how grateful they were to just be there and be able to help these people that couldn't, but it was just really cool. And it was nice to see them following instructions and having a good time while they did it, and making it into like a game and having fun and not acting like it was a chore.
Did you just say it was fun watching kids follow instructions? Is that what you just said? That doesn't happen very often. That's awesome.
I would say it was good when they...
We've got just a couple more minutes. I know there's a few more stories I would love to hear. Anybody?
On the launch retreat.
Don't know what launch is. Launch is something that we started a couple, 3 years ago within the children's ministry, where we were asking the question, is coming in this room and sitting and listening and just receiving and being... consumers. Is that all there is to the body of Christ? Surely not. And this group has for 3 years now just constantly been asking hard questions, even though we don't know the answers. What does it look like to keep pushing towards what God's asking us to do? Sorry.
It's okay. So in this last retreat, we talked about our gospel identity and what the truth of us are, who we are, and who God says we are. And we did our beloved charter, which is, or as I like that Dan said even better, our identity anchor. So telling us the truth about who God says we are, and not who we think we are or the world says we are, but the truth about who we are. And then, so through that, towards the end, we talked about our gardens and the people that God puts around us and puts in our gardens for us to nurture and
cultivate. Yeah.
And you know, pray over and think about, and to think that, you know, who God says I am, that's who God says they are too.
That's right.
And so I thought about my garden and who's in my garden, and they asked us to think of one person. And then, so we did. And then Kyle said, we're writing a letter to this person. I thought, okay.
Now, they thought ugly words of me this. Yes. If you didn't understand what she's saying, I asked them to think of somebody that God had put on their heart. Instead of just talking about it, reach out to them. And so I asked them, would you write them a letter which will start a conversation?
Yes. So I wrote the letter thinking, I'm going to hold on to this and I'll send it when I'm ready. And then Kyle said, nope, we're sending it. You're putting the address. And I had to give it to him to send it, and which was very scary, but it happened. And then so through that letter, my person, it hasn't been huge growth, but it has started that conversation. It has started. There's a little text here, and this was back in March. And then, I mean, we haven't sat down and done more, but I see God working in that building that relationship. And I see God working on that.
If you had to name somebody or multiple somebodies that should have been up here instead of you because you've been watching and you see God, and you're like, number one, I wish they would have been up here because I didn't want to talk. But do you have names? Just tell me the names. Mason.
Connor and Caden Hilton.
Oh, my goodness. Nash. I mean, watching Nash at base camp. The names just roll out to me. Today, I want to celebrate because I can always see the hard. I can always see the difficult. But can we celebrate that right now in these small movements that God is transforming people? And are we content just to stay where we are, or do we want him to use us? Would you give these guys a hand? Thank you, guys. You leave it. Just leave it. Obviously, no sermon today. They're the sermon. But I do want to briefly say something about the text that we just read. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, and some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has a hear, ears, let them hear. Or another way to say that, if you get it, you get it. If you want it, you'll reach out for it. Every time I've ever heard this text preach, it immediately sends me to, which soil am I right now? And then I do what I do, which is I'm disappointed because my heart is shallow at times and I don't like suffering. And my heart is divided sometimes because I love other things more than Jesus some days. And I don't want to, but I do. But today I want to ask a different question for you to think about as you go home. What is the soil's job? Have you ever thought that each of the three soils, not the path, but the soils, are the same? There's something in them, but the soils themselves are exactly the same. The soil's job is not to get the rocks out. Some of us beat ourselves up. It's not my job to get the rocks out. It's not my job to get the thorns out. That's his job. I'm begging him to do that. But I'm tired of beating myself up, saying, well, when I get that done, then I will be who God asks me to be. That's not it. The soil's job is to hear. To hear a crazy message and invite the soil, your heart, indict the seed to do its work. What's that message? There was a king, and he was tortured, and he was killed, and he said, I will live with you, and I will live in you, and I will change you. I will change your soil. That message is, you are and I am completely and utterly and ridiculously desperate for Jesus. And we can act like we're not, and we can dress like we're not, and we can have all the theology and say we're not, but the fact of the matter is, sin is a disease, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are desperate for Jesus. He said, if you want to save your life, you have to lose it. The way up is down. To become rich, you have to give your stuff away. To have power, you have to serve people. And the way to really, really, really grow is to suffer. Go through pain so you can learn dependence. That's the craziest message on this planet. And we keep fighting it. Because our picture of the kingdom is power. Our picture of the kingdom is, I'm right and I'm good and you should listen to me. But the kingdom says, please help me. That's really going to change the world? Us not just talking about dying, but dying today with the people that God gives us. To actually living with Jesus. Is that going to change the world? Jesus says, yes. But you can keep trying if you want to. It's just not going to work. Question's pretty silly. What's the soil's job? The soil's job is to invite the seed, that weak, vulnerable, gradually moving, quietly, slowly penetrating seed to change your heart one day at a time. I love the fall. Most of the time, I act like it's to torment the kids because they have to go back to school, but really it's because it's new beginnings. It's another chance to remember that that seed is continually planted. And I have another opportunity today. And God is working and he's not done. And if we think this is just about sitting in a pew, we have completely missed the kingdom of God. He's not done with you yet. Build your kingdom here. It's a pretty simple message. And it will take the rest of our lives to try to figure it out. I know I can't be the dad that I want to be, and I know I can't be the husband. I am desperately asking him to take the rocks and take the thorns. I'm desperately asking for him to take the rocks in this body and the thorns out of this body, that we can make a dent, that we can fight the darkness rather than just show up. If that's something that you're wrestling with, we would love to talk to you. There's going to be elders standing around here. There's going to be elders out in the back. We would love to talk to you. There's nothing we can fix. We can only point you to Jesus. If there's anything you need, we want to be there for you and constantly walk with you. If there's anything you need, come as we stand and as we sing.